Are you an event organizer? Well, you are, actually, whether you like it or not. You are an event organizer. It's extremely unlikely that you will not be organizing some event this weekend, even if the event is a one-to-one meeting between you and another person, or even if the event is you having a meeting with yourself. In other words, you are, and all of us are, event organizers. For the purpose of this audioboo, are you a event organizer, somebody who hopes to have, you know, a few hundred people coming together for the purpose of anything, fun, therapy, yoga, anything at all? If so, this is for you. So, the title of this audioboo is How to Get Your Event to Go Global in 3 Easy Steps. So step one is do nothing in relation to your global ambitions. Do absolutely nothing. Step two, design a drop-dead gorgeous local event, one that will work for the locals without any regard whatsoever to its attractiveness to an international audience. I'll elaborate a little bit on this one, which is to say that just imagine that you're an American in the Bronx, New York Bronx, right? And you decide that you're going to organize an event which is going to appeal incredibly to the Irish living in Kerry in Ireland, right? Do you think you could pull it off? The short answer is no. You would not be able to organise an event that would appeal to people from a different country, a different time zone,
what?
And a different culture.
What are you doing?
You couldn't do it. There'd be just no way you could organise something
Who? That
would appeal. It would smack of insincerity. It would smack of... you'd be amusing. People would be amused at you. The people of Kerry would be smiling at this American from the Bronx.
I got some blue bonbons.
You got what?
I got some blue bonbons.
You got blue bonbons. Right. If I wasn't off sweets for the month of this November, I, of course, would be wanting you to share. Who are you going to share them with? Okay, look, you've just interrupted. I was actually recording an audio boo, but it was about how would you get people in another country to be interested to come to something you were organising in Ireland?
Who doesn't like puppies?
Who doesn't like puppies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you mean people in America would be interested in...
coming to Ireland to sponsor Puppies for the Blind? Oh, gosh.
It's a good idea.
No, it's a rubbish idea.
Hey.
Who would do that?
Hey, have a good day at school.
Hey, Dad.
All the best. Hey, you're actually on that audio book.
Wow, class. Wow.
Bye. Big hug. Big hug.
Bye.
Bye. Right. Well, where was I? She's gone. She's the blooming expert. Anyway, back to this thing. Second lesson is organize the event so that it will appeal to locals. I'll give you an example. There's an event taking place in the west of Ireland shortly, meaning next tomorrow week. It's in a place called Cong, and the event was designed and organized to appeal to locals. Well, not really pure. When I say locals, it was really designed to appeal to people all over Ireland. So Ireland, for the purpose of this audioboo, is local, right? If we started that, if the people organizing the event in Cong, who go under the hashtag Congregation13, if they set out to organize an event that would appeal to people in New Orleans or Vancouver, or anywhere on the other side of the world, or Sydney or Brisbane. I mean, if they were trying to attract Ian Cath from Australia, well, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Especially, well, they certainly wouldn't attract Ian if they organised something that was specially designed to appeal to Australians. Because although he would be too polite to do it in public, Ian would have a good laugh at their efforts. And you can follow Ian, or find Ian Cath on Audioboo. And, you know, listen to the kind of stuff that he does there. And you'll understand a little bit more. Because he's pure blood Australian, right? So back here to this. So, you know, point one was do nothing to attract a global audience. Number two is do everything to attract a local audience. And point three, outside this event, nothing to do with this event, and off this, and before you ever think of doing this event at all, become very well connected with people who are very well connected all over the world. You with me now? It's 1 degree of separation, if you like. Become very well connected with people who are very well connected all over the world, right? Actually, being very well connected with people all over the world is also a very good idea, because if you are want to be effective locally at designing, running an event which will attract a global audience, it's very, very difficult to do if you yourself haven't been in contact with anyone in the rest of the world during your previous, you know, 3 years. Or that all the contacts you've had with people in other parts of the world, you know, have you coming across as a single-minded, self-interested person who, you know, nobody would be particularly interested in linking with. So there's the third point. The third point is get yourself terribly well connected. And I don't mean in a superficial way. I really do mean in a serious way. So much so that you have built up a track record of actually being helpful to people in other places. They are the three rules. Everything else will happen then for itself, right? And by that I mean, I'll give you a little example. Nobody ever set out to get people in British Columbia, in Canada, to come to Kong in the west of Ireland on Saturday, tomorrow week. Nobody set out to do that. Nobody sent an invitation to Jane Boyd in near Vancouver to decide that she should come to Kong, especially for this event. Nobody did that. Didn't even cross my mind to say it to her myself. However, now we have Jane Boyd all the way from Western Canada, who is connected in with a huge community of very well-connected people in North America, the community known as SobCon, S-O-B-C-O-N. She's connected with people in that community. And here she is. She sends out a message this morning to say, if I write my 600 words in, can I come to Kong? Now, that is just stunning. I mean, and in fact, the crazy thing is that Jane Boyd is, it looks to me as if Jane Boyd is going to come to Kong without having to pay her airfare. In fact, if you were coming to Kong, you'd probably have to, you know, fly into London, fly from London to Knock Airport, Galway Airport either would do, and then take a bus or a taxi or get picked up or hire a bicycle or, you know, hitchhike. But basically, it wouldn't be the easiest journey in the world. So Jane Boyd is hinting that she... So there she is over in the west coast of Canada, and she's actually saying, look, you know, can I come to Kong via Google Plus? Now, she's in a 9-hour time zone difference, I think it is. The event in Kong, I don't know what time it'll kick off. I suppose there'll be some people there the night before, and they'll kick off over breakfast. And, you know, I'll be driving up from Cork to get there, and I don't know how long it'll go on. But so Jane Boyd might, you know, catch some of the early bird people over breakfast. And hopefully, you know, I'll be there long enough into the afternoon to be there when Jane Boyd is on Google Plus soon after she wakes up on Saturday morning, her time. But that's it, really. How to become a global event? is, number one is do a local event. And then, if it's good, if it's really good and well put together, what people will say is, bloody hell, that's impressive, that's interesting, that's creative, that's useful. And then they'll say, actually, we could do that for ourselves over here. We could do it our way. And then they'll say to themselves, well, maybe I can go to their event via the internet. And that could be anything from just following the hashtag to what Jane Boyd is talking about, which is the pièce de résistance, if you like, which is a Google Live, Google Hangout on Air, where, you know, you're there in the room with people, live on air. If the strength of the Wi-Fi is good enough, it's a doddle to do it. If you've never done it, then it's a bit of an adventure. But it actually isn't difficult. So, the organisers of Kong may get a global audience, but they haven't lifted a finger to get it. Jane Boyd heard about Kong via several people that she is well connected with in Ireland, not least of whom is Bernie Goldbach, Limerick Institute of Technology in County of Tipperary, an American hiding away in Ireland, somewhere near the Rock of Cashel. He should be a member of Special Forces, I think, or something like that. Anyway, he certainly worked in the Pentagon a long time ago. So, you know, he was probably there when they invented the internet. Or actually, of course, I'm wrong. The Pentagon did not invent the internet. Sure, they didn't. Wasn't it the Canadian Air Force that invented the internet? Or was that the World Wide Web? Okay, I digress. But this is a very important thing because, you know, you wouldn't be the only person who has an ambition to run a global event. I used to think that the only way to run a global event, or an event which would be attractive to a global audience, was to get a globally famous person to come to it, to travel all the way over to Ireland and be the keynote speaker. And I used to be naive enough to think that if I could attract a keynote speaker by some means or other, that would be a guaranteed success for the event and that it would become global. And I realised I couldn't have been more stupid, and I'm glad I never tried to follow through on what I thought at the time, because of course the global audience would only be interested in one thing if it was like that. They'd only be interested in the globally known speaker, and frankly they wouldn't give a damn about the rest of the event. So the only kind of thing you'd be doing is you'd be providing a platform to a globally already known person to become a little bit better known, and nobody anywhere would think that the event that you were designing was of any consequence because of that person's fame. Now, if you were to do it the other way around and you were to design a local event which was so well designed and attractive to locals that the global celebrity got to hear about it on the other side of the world and said, well, I've never been to one like that before. This really is a different kind of an event. You know, God, I'd go to that even if they couldn't afford to pay me to be the keynote speaker. In fact, I'd go in it and I'd just sit in the audience like everybody else, and I'd just be the human being that I really am and that I really crave to be. In other words, I just sit down and talk to strangers and say things like, you know, do you come here often? Yeah, that's what a global personality, that's what some global personalities would do. And I'm thinking about I'm not talking about Barack Obama, right? He couldn't do that if he wanted to, right? So I'm not, and I, in fairness, you know, I think Aung San Suu Kyi would do it if somebody would let her do it, right? I think she would be. I think she's got that humility. She is a global celebrity, would actually sit down with ordinary people in a corner of in Kong and say to them, you know, do you come here often? Yeah, I think she would. And I know someone who has done that, who has been a keynote speaker at a very big event in North America. Somewhere like in Oregon or somewhere like that, maybe even in Vancouver, I'm not sure. But anyway, I know this, this celebrity person. You know, who doesn't have quite as many followers as Lady Gaga, but, you know, I know, no. But they're actually in the, you know, they'd be right up there with an awful lot of followers. But actually, they have more than followers. They have people who really do connect. So consequently, their list of followers would be worth an awful lot more than somebody else's list of followers, you know. But I've seen evidence of them sitting down quietly, chatting to somebody about the event, and that person turning to them and said, "Well, you know, how come you've come to the event?" In other words, this celebrity keynote speaker gets asked by a person coming to the event, who's at the event, over a cup of tea, meeting up two, three complete strangers, you know, and how come you're here? And that would really make somebody smile, wouldn't it? Imagine you're doing a book signing, and you're just waiting to come on stage to do the book signing and all the publicity, and you're sitting down having a cup of coffee by yourself beforehand, and somebody says, you know, to you, "By the way, I have a book coming out next week. Would you like to buy a copy?" And you turn around to them and they say, yeah, here's my book, self-published, no one's ever read it before. You know, you can be the fourth person to buy a copy. My mother bought all the other copies. And then they say to you, and how come you're here? And in fact, the whole event is designed for you to launch your book. And imagine how you'd feel. Now we've digressed, brother, I've digressed. It all began with one of the three cardinal rules for how to organize, how to get your event to go global. And we go back on them. The three key points are, one, do nothing. Certainly do nothing in relation to a global audience. Number two, design, you know, the most attractive event for local people. And number three, continue to work at it, a very, very well, genuinely well-connected person. That is what, that's actually what more meaningful marketing of your event would really be like. More meaningful marketing of your event in order to turn your event from, in order to open up your event to the wider world. Yeah. Thanks very much for listening to all this. It's a chilly, chilly, chilly Friday morning in Cork, in Ireland. Bye-bye.